it is Corinne from The Crew Coach, and I'm here to tell you what's happening on Yachting International Radio this week. So I'm interviewing one of my clients, Holly, and this is the first for Yachting International Radio. Why we're doing this is because I want you to hear from Holly, her experience around counseling, and Holly and I both want to make a positive impact by giving or creating more awareness around counseling and maybe exploring some of the reservations that you have with regards to asking for help. So Holly and I will unpack that together. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'd be really helpful for a lot of you. Hi everyone, you're with Corinne from The Crew Coach, and I have the lovely Holly with us today. Hi Holly.
Hello Corinne.
So Holly is kindly giving of her time as well as her personal experience. And the reason why we're connecting today is because we're both aware that there are a lot of people struggling out there, and we want to do everything we can to help you. And I think the first thing is recognizing that you need help. And the next thing is actually asking for help and the difficulties around that, because obviously your thoughts can get in the way of asking for help. So Holly's going to share with us her experience of what that was like. Over to you, Holly. So I think my first question to you would be, when would you know that it's time to reach out for help and that you can't do it on your own?
I think when it got to the point where I'd shared as much as I could with friends, I think you always test the waters a little bit, you know, give them a little bit, see how they react, and, you know, if it makes you feel any better. Okay. And I think with the things that I needed help with, I realized that my friends weren't really equipped to help me. And yeah, I just, you know, after I'd been to the doctors a few times and, you know, they'd given their advice as well. And, you know, I think deep down I knew that they were definitely things I needed to talk about and try and work through. And yeah, I think going to my friends, it there were things that they weren't able to help with. So at that point, I knew, and I think I knew for a long time that I needed somebody else to speak to. Yeah, I don't think I can really pinpoint a time that I, or an exact reason that I knew that I needed to speak to someone else or ask for help. I think you know when things aren't right. And I think you know deep down when you are no longer able to help yourself. And you just have to relinquish that, you know, that feeling. And yeah, I think accepting that somebody else may need to step in and just give you a bit of guidance. I think really that is it's a feeling more than anything else. I think once you accept that as well, it makes that next step a little bit easier. But I think that was my experience. Yeah, that was definitely how I went through, and it wasn't like an instant moment that I knew. It was kind of a long process coming to terms with the idea that, you know, I needed a bit more help.
So why do you think there would be fear around asking for help? What would be the common belief systems or angst?
Well, for me personally, I think there were three like biggest fears for me. Number one, being that idea that I can't do this by myself anymore. Like, I can't fix me. And that's a huge fear. Like, I am quite independent and get things done on my own and all sorts. And the fact that I couldn't make myself better was making me feel worse, first of all. And I think knowing that if I was to ask for help, that would be really just, yeah, accepting failure almost, that I couldn't do it by myself.
Yeah.
I think that was a fear of mine. I think the other one maybe knowing that it would be like opening a can of worms.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
not knowing how that was going to go. So I think a lot of it's uncertainty.
Yeah.
And the fear of the unknown, not knowing where it's going to go, what's going to come up, how it's going to trigger you, how you're going to feel about all of that, and if anything is actually going to help, what could possibly change, what could anybody else do or say that's going to make any of this any better, because if I can't do it by myself, what's somebody else going to do? All these thoughts, all these ideas, yeah, they really, I didn't see the point in going back into my past and bringing a bunch of stuff up that, you know, I'd spent all my life burying as far down as I possibly could.
Yeah.
I didn't see how it would be helpful at all to bring it all back up. So there's that fear.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, is anybody going to be able to help you? I think when you're in that space, it doesn't make sense. And why would you reach out to a stranger? And, you know, all those, I think they're all common fears.
Mm.
It's reaching out to somebody you don't know, and it's not even that, actually. If you're reaching out to your friends, again, it's the same principle. Bringing all that stuff up, what's it going to do? But yeah, I think once I was over that, then when I realized, you know, maybe I need to try that. I need to try that first before I, you know, decide whether that's going to work or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, the third main fear I had, actually, not really a fear, just something that was putting me off for a long time, and something that I found was actually the easiest one to deal with, was, yeah, the financial obligations. You know, the idea for me to accept that I'm now gonna pay, you know, for help from somebody else, and that has its own fears around that.
Yeah.
But I got to the point where I decided that this would be my self-care to my, like a gift to myself. It's what I spend my money on to make me feel better, and it's guilt-free as well. So
yeah,
that was actually definitely the easiest thing to overcome once I got past that barrier. And also, being a yachty, it's, you know, it's not a huge issue. Each of those fears definitely took a lot of time to overcome. But I mean, looking back now, when I talk to my friends and I talk through, you know, how I felt before and the difference it's made, I mean, there's no question about it. I wouldn't consider any of those things ever again. And if my friends ever had those kinds of fears, you know, I'll talk, yeah, always talk through it with them, because you just, yeah, reaching out for help, and then just, there's nothing, there is no fear out there that's going to be bad enough. Because, yeah, it's the best thing you can do for yourself. Definitely the best thing you can do for yourself.
I like how you reframed it as a gift to you that's guilt-free. And because I've been out of the industry for 10 years, I'm curious to know how much crew spend on a night out drinking or drugs as a way of escaping or self-medicating. For those that do, I know some go out there and just have a good time and it's fun, it's recreational. But those who have the issues that they want to continue to bury and mask, and that's the quickest way to do so, how much do crew, do you think, on average spend on a night out?
Gosh, to be honest, I don't even think I'd know now, because it's been a while since I have even gone out and spent that kind of money on a night out, because, yeah, it's probably more than a year ago now, since before I started doing these sessions. Let's reframe that. When I started doing these sessions, I realized where I was putting my time and money and energy was into making my, you know, helping myself. So I definitely cut out a lot of the other things that were not making me feel good.
Okay.
So yeah, and I think before I even reached out for help, I knew that the going out and the drinking and, you know, everything like that is just not good for me. I needed to switch that around, you know. And it was almost like when I started the sessions, it was like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to spend per month on this, which means I can't go out and spend this drinking. So it kind of helped that way. But in the past, you can easily spend a couple of hundred in a night, for sure. And I think back to that now, and I think that's just insane. I think what I could do with that now. Yeah. And yeah, it's just, I think when you realize what your priorities are and what's actually going to benefit you in the long term.
Yeah.
But you also have to come to that realization on your own, because you can have as many people as you want tell you that you need help, or maybe you should consider reaching out or not drinking so much or not spending your money, whichever way. But until you realize that yourself, and until you actually want to help yourself, you can't do it. You need to want to do it for yourself. You've got to do all the hard work, so you've got to be ready for it.
I'm curious to know, what would you say to someone who approached you and said, Holly, I'm thinking about doing counseling, what is it like? How would you describe that experience of counseling?
Well, for me, it's like my dedicated 1 hour all about me. again, just guilt-free, this is my space, and it's a safe space. I mean, we talk a lot about it being a safe space to just discuss and just to be vulnerable and be honest. and there's no judgment, and it's kind of a place to, let's say, experiment being who you want to be, or maybe practice even just sharing your emotions or sharing what's on your mind and seeing how that feels for you. And then, yeah, that might overflow into the rest of your life and make it easier to express your emotions and feelings, you know, more authentically outside of the sessions, which is something that I've definitely experienced. Yeah, I mean, in my experience, these sessions have just been like a conversation. And yeah, it's relaxed, and I feel comfortable, and but really it can be, I guess it can be whatever you want it to be. It can be whatever you need it to be. There's certainly enough times that I've sat here not saying anything, or crying, or yeah. I mean, I could spend half the session in silence, and that's what I needed. And give that space, and that's really important. So I just think, I mean, counseling can be whatever you need it to be. And yeah, I mean, perhaps my experience is going to be very different from, it will be very different from anybody else's experience. But I think that's something that you work together to create. And I think it's just important to find that space that you feel safe. Yeah, it can be hard work. It can be a lot of hard work. It can be very uncomfortable. And there's definitely times where things will come up that you hadn't even thought about before. Maybe you'll make connections that you never thought were possible, and suddenly everything makes sense. And yeah, it's just it's a journey. And it's a roller coaster. And sometimes I finish the sessions with a massive smile on my face. And I feel good. And there's no better feeling than that. And other times, it's just, yeah, I'm like, how on earth did that come up? And what am I going to do now? And I wish that hadn't come up, but it's out there now. But, you know, then you work on it. And each week it gets a little bit easier. And yeah, it's definitely a ride.
It's so lovely to hear it from your perspective, because obviously I'm on the other side of the fence, and it's just really lovely for me to hear what the experience is like. And I know that you've had a couple of therapists prior to us doing sessions together. I've had a number of therapists in my past, and obviously, as you know, I grew for supervision. How do you choose the right therapist for you?
Gosh.
If someone's looking, yeah, what would you advise them? Because I keep telling people before they do sessions, the most important thing is to have a rapport, a therapeutic compliance with who you're working with. Otherwise, therapy is not going to work.
Yeah, definitely. That's a tricky one, because I don't think you'll really know until you try it. And I know that's really unhelpful to hear. But I think once you've accepted that you're going to reach out for help or you're going to try, well, that's the first step out the way. And that's definitely the hardest bit. Mm. And now it's just kind of choosing who's best for you. Mm. And, you know, the first person that I went to see, she was great, but I obviously wasn't getting what I needed from her. I couldn't even tell you at the time that I knew that something wasn't right. I think it was only some months later that I realized maybe that kind of therapy or her approach wasn't the right one for me. And I tried to reach out to somebody else, and we did get on really well, and I think I would have been comfortable with her as well, but she was unable to provide me the kind of support that I needed. So she referred me elsewhere, and then by that point I wasn't in a good space, so I kind of gave up very quickly. I got scared that, you know, there was another fear. That was another fear altogether, was that somebody wasn't going to be able to help me.
Yeah.
And yeah, then, I mean, I remember it very clearly. I was here at home and I was looking for work, and I was just scrolling through Facebook, and that's how I came across one of your posts. And it was a vlog that you had posted. Mm. And I don't know what at the time made me do it, but I remember sending you that message, that first message. And I think the way you responded, it was so personal, and I felt immediately like you cared. That's definitely something I could sense from the very beginning. Mm. And it was a couple of weeks later, once I'd got my job on board, where I'd kind of told myself, you know, if I'm going to do this and I'm back in yachting and I've got the money coming in and I need a bit of stability, so I'm going to try this. And yeah, I went from there. And I think from our first session, I kind of had already committed to it. And yeah, I felt very comfortable from the very beginning. So I think I already knew from then that, you know, it was sort of a good fit. I felt comfortable. I was relaxed. And I, most importantly, I felt like talking to you and sharing things with you came quite easily. And I wasn't scared to say certain things, and yeah, and again, that comes back to it just being a feeling, and you will know when, yeah, it's just about how comfortable you feel with the person and sharing what you feel you need to share. And yeah, if you feel like you're getting the support that you want and need, then, you know, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Holly. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of other things that might come up for people. The feeling of being alone and no one understanding, or like what you said, like maybe you need to deal with it on your own and no one else can help. And yeah, I resonate with that. It makes a lot of sense. And obviously the line of work that we do in the industry, there is not a lot of hours to give back to you. And how do you fit you in when it's about everyone else? And I know that you have your routine, you have counseling once a week, and you made that happen. Somehow you could fit it in, whether it's waking up when it's dark and cold and finding somewhere that's private to have your sessions. But it's pretty incredible that you made time for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely believe that you can make that time. You know, I've heard a lot of people say that they can't, you know, find an hour a week or an hour whenever. Mm-hmm. I was on charter last summer, and yeah, I knew I needed this. It's something that I wanted to do. It was something that was helping. So I wasn't, you know, going to be giving that up anytime soon. Especially just starting out, I was getting into a routine, and I didn't, and like you said, you know, I love my routine. I don't like changing those things up. I think starting that and feeling comfortable with doing it once a week, and, you know, the things that were coming up for me, and I knew I needed to do the sessions more frequently, and I made the time. If it meant once a week, you know, after Anchor Watch, it's 4 a.m. and, you know, I stay up for an extra hour. You know, I've already been awake. It's just, you know, it's one extra hour. Mm. And I usually after a session, I'm pretty ready to go to bed. So I made it work, yeah. You know, and if it means getting up early to have a session before work, where I can find a quiet place in the boat. I never had an issue. I can honestly say I never had an issue finding time to make these sessions work. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think other than by choice, there hasn't been a single week that I have had a session, no matter where I am in the world.
That's the best part of it, is that you don't get on a bus or a train or drive a car to your counseling session, so you can have it wherever, so you don't have to change therapists all the time. But
exactly,
yeah, it's for people that don't know, Holly celebrated her 1 year anniversary with me last week.
Very exciting times.
Oh, thanks so much, Holly, for sharing your experience. And I know that you care about others deeply, and you have friends now that are also doing counseling, which is amazing.
You call it the Korean Club.
You're championing such an important cause, and that's taking care of yourself and your well-being. Because, yeah, it can be hard work working in that particular industry where you can't give back to yourself, but you've just shown us all that you can make it happen, and that you can overcome some massive personal obstacles through counseling and live a more meaningful, happier life.
Yeah, I think I wanted to add actually that,
yeah,
I mean, you can kind of take this counselling as being a, how can I put this? You learn a lot more about other people as well, not just yourself. Yeah. I think the more you learn about your own feelings and thoughts and emotions and how they come about and how you learn to deal with them, I think that's really important, especially for working on board, to then apply that to how you deal with other people around you. You can, you know, I've definitely learned to stop and pause and think about how other people are reacting, and thinking about, or just thinking about them and what they might be going through, and you know, they might be stressed out and tired, and you know, before launching into full-blown attack, you know, take a breath and think that it's not about you. They're going through something, you're going through something, you know, you're going through it together. And I think through counselling, I've definitely improved my interactions with my crew. I think it's really important. Mm. And my communication skills in general have improved massively. You know, for me to sit here once a week and have to put into words to explain how I'm feeling to you, explain what's going on in my head, and try and get that to make sense. And yeah, that has helped massively in how I communicate with other people and how I get my thoughts across to other people instead of coming across like aggressive or hostile. I've definitely got more clarity of thought and how I express myself in a much more calm manner. And I've definitely noticed how people have changed in their reaction to me. How dialogue improves and just working together has improved hugely. So, I mean, I guess you can look at those things as being something that you can take away from counselling to help you in life in general, you know, just to interact with other people. So it's not even all about you. At the end of the day, it's helping everyone else around you because you're just becoming more aware, more conscious of everyone else around you and that everyone else is going through something as well. And when you take the time to appreciate that, you know, everyone gets on a little better. So
yeah, I've got one last question for you because of what you've just raised. Do you think there's still a stigma attached to the word counseling?
Yes, I do. But from experience, I have just approached that with absolute confidence in admitting it and going full steam ahead. Everyone should be in counselling. And I think with that approach, people have been really accepting of it and open to discussing it. I think because deep down, everybody wants it, everybody needs it. Yeah. And knowing that, yeah, I'm open to having that conversation has made it much more comfortable for other people to even explore the idea of asking for help or having counselling. And yeah, I have people asking me about sessions and how it works and all sorts. And me personally, I just try and make it a really normal conversation because that's exactly what it is. It's a completely normal thing. And I love it. I love seeing the change in people's perception of counselling. You can definitely tell from their body language and how they react when I first bring it up to however long later, they're asking all sorts of questions and, you know, they're interested and at least thinking about it in a way that's, they're accepting of it. And I think that's the only way you can change it is to make this conversation as normal as possible, because that's exactly what it is. And yeah, it's uncomfortable for me sometimes because it is a personal journey and, you know, and it is difficult and it is hard work and I've got to put in the effort and, you know, no one's going to do it for you. But it's important for me that I help at least or as many people as I can to realize that for themselves. And, you know, and I do have a few friends that are now, you know, working with you and others that have asked about working with you and have wanted to reach out. And you know, to me, that's the most important thing that could come from this as well.
It's just helping somebody else.
Because, yeah, I don't want to see anybody else suffer. Because it's just, yeah, that hurts.
It does.
So,
it does.
Yeah. Cool. This,
thanks.
That's
thank you so much for having the courage to share this experience. Because I think, as you could see from your post last week, you had such a positive response for putting yourself out there. And that is really brave to do that. And I'm so happy that people are recognizing your courage and your willingness to work on you and help others to do the same.
Yeah, definitely made it all worthwhile. Definitely.
And would you say that now it's easier to have those sort of conversations? It's becoming more natural. There's less awkwardness around it, thinking, oh, what are people going to think of me and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's been a pretty normal conversation for a while. And I think most of my friends, it's become such a normal thing that, yeah, it's just really just part of everyday conversation now, which if I think back to a year ago and how difficult it was to tell people that I and the way my friends and I talk about it, it's just like it's nothing, and that is amazing. And it just, it helps the process, you know, to now be able to maybe take some of the things that we discuss in our sessions and exploring how those conversations can go with friends, you know, and that's just, I'm like integrating everything I'm learning into
everyday
life.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole idea as well. And you're learning all these things and these tools and you're learning how to cope with things on your own. I feel like I'm growing up and moving on.
Amazing. I know that one of your goals, or I think what you were missing, is to have those more significant conversations with friends. This was a year ago. And obviously, when you're working on a yacht, you may not have your friends with you, and you've got to learn to live and work with strangers. And you might be having those superficial conversations for a long time, or you think, my gosh, we're on a different planet. Like, we don't share the same interests, the same values. And to be frank, I don't enjoy these superficial conversations. That they may have no idea on how to engage on your level or have the conversations that you're interested in. But what I'm hearing is that you're having different sort of conversations with your friends. Like, these are the conversations that you were missing, and now it sounds like you're having them.
Yeah, I'd say so. And maybe a lot of that comes from confidence to have those conversations. It all comes back to how I feel about even discussing them, because I think most of it comes from fear of how people will react. You know, how I talk about being in counseling, that was scary in the beginning, now it's a normal conversation. Through having our sessions, we've discussed certain things that have been really difficult for me to talk about, have become more of a normal thing to discuss, which has then helped me bring those things up with my friends in a normal conversation with less emotion attached to it, less triggering emotions.
Yeah.
And in doing so, they reciprocate and there's sharing on their behalf. And then all of a sudden, we're having these conversations. And yeah, it's been a huge shift. And I couldn't even tell you when that shift happened, or if it was like a lot. I would assume it's been a long term, you know, journey.
Yeah.
But I think just being comfortable in expressing yourself in a way that makes you feel normal, it feels right for you. And the other part is obviously having a safe space and people around that you trust, and yeah, all those things are important. But I think it's got to start with you and how you feel about it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, talking about things in this safe space that have been really difficult have now, you know, a year later, I feel comfortable bringing them up with my friends and helping them understand me a bit better. And yeah, it's been an amazing journey, but to be able to sit here now, a year later, in a really good space right now. And I think this is the first time that I've really thought about any of these things and even discussed these things. Yeah, there's been a huge shift. And that's pretty awesome.
I think people have just experienced a taste of counseling. Like, you didn't even know you're getting counseled in this interview. Here we go, guys. Well,
there you go.
What it's like.
There you go.
Amazing. Well, Holly, thank you so much for joining me and having this conversation. I really appreciate it.